Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Alandari, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Hickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, and to watch and share our incredible informative animations, please visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. So, let's get started.
There's a national therapist shortage post-pandemic. The U.S. is facing a national therapist shortage right now, which has been exacerbated by the pandemic. Even before the start of the pandemic, it was difficult to find therapists in the U.S. However, we are now in a situation where the majority of therapists are unable to take on new patients, and in many cases, even their waiting lists are now closed. The waiting lists are closed. And after the stress and grief that the pandemic has caused, even more people are in need of mental health counseling, and it's even more difficult for those in lower income neighborhoods and rural communities to find therapists accepting new patients.
Many mental health counselors have commented on this situation, adding that it's the worst it's ever been. Many hospitals and practices have wait lists that are double what they were before the pandemic, with hundreds of people on their lists. The federal government's mental health and substance abuse referral line received over 1 million calls in 2021, which is over 27% more than in 2019 before the pandemic. The American Psychological Association surveyed their psychologists and found that 65% of the therapists that responded had no capacity for new patients, and 68% said their wait lists were longer than they were in 2020.
The reason why we're seeing such dramatic strain on the mental health counseling system right now can be boiled down to a few primary reasons. The most obvious is the fact that more people are seeking support because of the emotional stress brought on by the pandemic and its aftermath, which has included wars and economic difficulties. In other words, people who might never have gone to therapy before are now seeking it out. Next, the younger generation sees a lot less stigma in talking about mental illness and thus are more likely to seek the help of a therapist. Thank goodness. And finally, training slots for new psychiatrists significantly lag and cannot keep up with the demand. All of these factors create a system that there's a surplus of demand with a shortage of therapists.
If you or someone you know is struggling to find mental health counseling in the midst of this national therapist shortage, here's some advice from mental health professionals. First, they recommend casting a wide net and being open to online video appointments if you're able to accommodate that. Secondly, they also recommend seeing a therapist in training if you're struggling to find a certified mental health counselor. These therapists in training are pre-licensed graduates who need to complete a certain amount of hours under the supervision of a licensed mental health professional, but they have already received years of training. And if none of this works, consider joining a support group or therapy group while you are waiting to find a one-on-one therapist. I think the moral of the story here is what you may be facing is real, and it could be really hard right now to find somebody to talk to, but don't wait. Find someone. There are plenty of people out there, support groups or pre-licensed graduates. I know that there's a new service that's 988. If you dial 988 from any phone, you are connected to a new mental health crisis support line that's similar to 911. So this is really exciting. It's an exciting service that we now finally offer in the United States. And this shortage is unfortunate, but please, please, please don't let it prevent you or someone that you love from accessing some very, very necessary and needed mental health support resources.
Mental illness might not be the underlying cause for mass school shootings. The U.S. has the highest rate of mass murder with firearms out of all high-income countries. This sad and upsetting reality has been at the forefront of public policy concerns for several years, but very little progress has been made in terms of decreasing this statistic. This past May, Uvalde, Texas had a horrific school shooting that killed 19 children and two teachers. 2 months later, a man opened fire at a 4th of July parade in Highland Park, Illinois, killing 8 people and injuring several others. In fact, in 2022, there have been an average of 13 mass shootings per week, Graham, per week, according to the Gun Violence Archive.
Accurately profiling and identifying consistent patterns in the perpetrators of these horrific events has proven to be very challenging. Researchers at the University of Columbia Irvine Medical Center and the New York State Psychiatric Institute teamed up to examine 82 mass murders that occurred in academic settings globally in order to discern any cultural and social drivers of these events. Specifically, they wanted to gain insight on the relationship between mental health and mass murders.
In the study, out of the 82 cases that they examined, which for the record is the largest analysis ever done on mass school murders, 47.6% occurred in the U.S., and out of those involving firearms, 63% occurred in the U.S. All of the perpetrators were male, which is consistent with previous reports. Interestingly, diagnosed severe mental illness and psychosis were absent in the majority of the perpetrators who used firearms, over 80% of them, actually, as well as those who did not use firearms, which was about 68%. A large portion, over 45% of mass shooters, took their own lives in the scene of their attacks. According to the researchers, these findings might suggest that the perpetrator views their actions as the final act, which could be driven by several different motives, both social and cultural.
The co-author and researcher on this study, who is a professor of psychiatry, medicine, and law at Columbia, said that in light of these findings, identifying mental illness as the primary cause of violence can be very misleading. Focusing on mental illness, especially psychotic illness, when discussing mass school shooting risks, we are missing other factors that might contribute to the majority of the cases. We also may be creating even more stigma around severe mental illness. The researchers hope that this study will help shed some light on mass school shootings so that policymakers and law enforcement can better understand the social and cultural drivers behind these events instead of pinning it on mental illness. Okay, I remember when I was editing this, Hope, I was feeling a little like, okay, like if 50% of these people commit suicide, are we really saying mm-hmm. that they don't have any mental illness, or has it just not been diagnosed,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. I was like, I don't know that I agree with this story, because, I mean, it clearly said they weren't diagnosed. There's a lot of people out here with varying levels and varying degrees of mental illness, right, that totally. Never get diagnosed, never walk into a therapist's office.
Completely.
Right? And so they wouldn't count in those numbers because they weren't diagnosed. I don't think we can accurately say that people who pick up a gun and shoot and murder children in a school are mentally healthy.
Right.
I don't think we can say that. No. I don't think any person could say that.
Yeah.
And truthfully, right?
I agree completely. Like, I don't know if I have a blind spot, but I completely cannot imagine them being mentally healthy at a time when they.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast, follow us on social media, and leave us a review letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Pickerson, at hopepickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at The Dr. Derry. That's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
To see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us, the show, as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.